and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And on this episode, we are going to review Upload, a new series on Amazon Prime Video. Daryl, since you were the one who first recommended we check this out, do you want to explain the concept of Upload?
Sure. So the basic concept, I'd say it's like near future, set in near future. And the basic concept is like when you die, you can opt to have your consciousness uploaded, and then it goes to kind of a virtual retirement community. And there are a number of these, and they vary depending on kind of your means. And obviously, if you're richer, you get better post-life care or whatever, like post-life scenario settings. And then it's also like not, it's the procedure itself is expensive. It's almost like kind of like insurance. Like, you know, people can have a plan or not have a plan depending on their means and then the level of quality differs too. And it, and another super fun thing about it, just a fun detail, is that like they seem to be run by either by like weird conglomerates where like, I don't know, a fast food company has merged with like a giant tech magnate. Like that's the future that the show envisions.
It's really weird. Like Panera Aeon or like Oscar Mayer Intel.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is really fun. Like the first time they did mention that, I was like, what are the conditions that would lead to that?
Yeah, being the case? Also, I would love to know like the incremental, like what phases did Panera have to go through before, or like Oscar Mayer? Like was there holographic hot dogs? It had to, yeah. I mean, it has to be connected to the food printing, right?
Because all of these worlds are like stocked with like kind of in-app purchases that you can make and like benefits that vary again depending on your subscription level and how much money you're paying. But they also have it's somewhat fluid, the line, like you can interact back and forth between with living people, who can, you know, just like call you as if they would call you, you know, if you were alive, or they can pop right into the simulation using VR gear with varying levels of, stimuli so that they can feel what's going on. And that's another fun part of the kind of the premise. And then vice versa, you can kind of go and experience things in the real world, but not really, like more just like you can be a life-size projection on a digital display and chat with people and kind of interact with them that way. So it's a pretty porous line, and it's existentially very weird, I think, for everyone involved, but they don't spend that much time on that. There's a little bit in some of the subplots, but it's more about kind of just like, okay, this is the reality people are dealing with, and what does it mean for relationships and stuff, rather than like, what does it mean for the nature of the soul, which doesn't come up that much.
Right. Because I think I've definitely was like texting with some friends who started watching the show earlier today, and I think we're definitely of the position that, so the show focuses on there's a pretty big cast, but two main characters. One is Nora, who's somebody who is a quote-unquote angel, basically a customer service representative in this virtual afterlife. And then Nathan, who's somebody, and this is, I guess, sort of a spoiler, but it's also the concept of the show, which is that halfway through the first episode, Nathan dies and is uploaded into this world.
Yeah, and they give that away in the trailer in case anyone wants to get too angry about that. So yeah.
But like, I think you the way the show treats it essentially is just, yes, he's been uploaded into this world. I think that if depending on what your view is of human identity, you could definitely just be like, oh, Nathan's dead. Nathan's definitely dead. And like, and right. I mean, I say this, you know, as somebody who's only seen the first couple episodes, so I don't know how that develops later on, but like, whereas and he's dead and there's a copy of him that's running around in virtual reality, which is fine, but like, he's dead.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely an existential perspective on it. The show, this is kind of a spoiler, but it's not really what the show is concerned with.
Okay.
So that's not what you're getting into with this show. You're getting into just kind of like a more, it's like a, I wouldn't say it answers that question and they're like, no, it's still Nathan, I think I would say it ignores that question. It doesn't think it's pertinent or mm-hmm. meaningful.
Well, it doesn't fully ignore it, right? Because they have the one conversation about it. But like, I would put this show in a class with The Good Place, not to mm-hmm. offend The Good Place, because I think that's a really pretty well done show for the fact that it stays lighthearted and attacks philosophy like throughout. But it does have that same vibe, right?
I think it does have that vibe. I like this more than The Good Place over time. I was a really big fan of The Good Place early. I despise The Good Place now. I can't even finish it.
Wow.
It just makes me sick. I don't know why.
What happened though?
I just find them all really annoying. I don't know if it's too saccharine or too, they grate on me. Like I don't know what it is, but it really turned. And now I'm like, it might as well be Big Bang Theory. Like it's like, ugh. Like
you guys hate Big Bang so much.
I don't know if I've ever seen an episode of Big Bang Theory.
How is it possible to not see an episode of Big Bang Theory?
That is actually impossible. You must have seen one by accident, because I've seen one. I didn't even have.
I've seen clips. I don't think there are any circumstances where like it's just playing, like a full episode is playing, and I would never turn it on myself. So like, and again, this is nothing against Big Bang Theory. It's more just that I live in a world where no one cares about Big Bang Theory. I have no particular interest in watching it. And yet I'm also aware that there's a parallel universe, namely most of America, where for many years it was the most popular show on TV. And to me, that difference is part of what's fascinating about it. And so that's like an interesting example, as opposed to me saying Big Bang Theory is trash. It's more just like, wow, it's weird that I have no interest in this show, but tens of millions of people watched it.
So for the Big Bang Theory fans out there, Anthony thinks it's trash. His Twitter is at Anthony Ha.
Yes.
I mean, I also think it's trash. So if you want to spread that around.
But you really don't want to fight with Daryl. So like, I don't think Big Bang Theory is trash. And now this episode's about Big Bang Theory.
Well, it's an interesting comparison that you made, because I definitely think there's a lot of similarities with The Good Place, which I've only seen the first season of, but I think is very, very good. I think Good Place is definitely a little bit more, they both are funny shows with serious strains. Good Place feels a little bit more sitcom-y and over the top than this one does, although this one definitely has over the top elements. But there's also like an interesting connection, because Upload is created by Greg Daniels, who was the creator and showrunner of the American version of The Office. And then he and Michael Schur, who worked on The Office, co-created Parks and Recreation together, I believe. And then Michael Schur has gone on to do a bunch of different stuff, including The Good Place. Greg Daniels has not been as active. And then this month, he's launching both Upload and the Space Force TV series on Netflix. But I think they're two guys who have very similar sensibilities, so it makes sense that the shows would reflect that, in addition to both being about the afterlife.
Say more about the Space Force show. What the fuck is that?
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's releasing May 29th, and it stars Steve Carell as the reluctant head of the U.S. Space Force.
Like the Trump's Space Force.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love how quickly they can turn around TV now, right?
Well, that's like, I wrote about the trailer, but it was like, I don't understand how this looks like so put together in the time that they had available to them. Like, it looks like a show that they like.
He had to have been inspired the day that that was announced. I'm going to write for 48 hours, maybe 96, and I'll get back to you guys. But Steve, are you in if I write it? And Steve was like, yes. And then like other phone calls were made in the time he was writing it. And then they got shooting like 2 weeks later. Like, that has to be what it was, right?
It has an incredible cast, too. It's like, it's got him, it's got John Malkovich, Lisa Kudrow, Ben Schwartz, and then some newer actors that I don't really know that well. But
wow.
It's like, I think John Malkovich is like the main other person, because it's supposed to be him working with a sort of reluctant scientist. Oh, it's got Jimmy O. Yang, too, from
Silicon Valley,
yeah.
Are you guys, I'm sorry to diverge a little bit, but that's just the mood. It's Friday afternoon. Are you guys curious or thinking at all about like when TV will, when coronavirus will hit TV, like yeah. if when it will, and like I find myself a little like more and more uncomfortable watching TV shows.
Oh yeah, it's definitely super weird watching TV shows and seeing people do things that you're like, that's yeah. a legend. That's a legend that people did that. I don't recall.
I see TV shows where people shake hands, or like I saw one the other day where someone like goes and like, I was watching The Last Dance, and there's a scene where the coach is like, Michael, can you come over here and kiss me to show them that we're like, we're all happy now and we made up, and they go and like kiss each other on the cheek, like with like cameras and microphones all so close yeah. to their face. And I was like, I'm having an anxious reaction to this.
The exact same thing happened in the season finale of Dave, which I just watched yesterday. They were like on the Breakfast Club, like the Chef Charlemagne the God radio show. And then like there was a scene where the guy comes over to him and kisses him on the cheek, because he's like, oh yeah, come here, kiss, give me a kiss. And I was like, what are they doing? Like, this is insane.
You want to like go and throw the TV. Like, I'm like, stop, don't do it. It's crazy. And I like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that TV either. Like, do we, because I have a feeling that like most people are in escapist mode, but then we're also really bothered by the escapist television, in the sense that we're like, you guys don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, wake up, get into the real world. Like, yeah, there's yeah. a pandemic on. Hello, you know. And so it's like, it's confusing. And I don't know.
I wouldn't say I'm bothered by escapist television, but I'm very aware of the difference. That I think, yeah, I become increasingly. I think at the beginning, I would just watch something and not think about that difference, or I would notice it, but then I'd be, of course, you know. In the old world that we're going to rejoin very soon, people touch each other, and that's a normal thing. And then as time has gone on, I think my awareness of that grows, but I don't, it's not to say that I want people on my escapist TV to stop acting that way.
Right.
I do wonder about, I think we talked about this a little bit before, that there are going to be, and we're already starting to see this, you know, there was the Parks and Recreation Zoom special, and I think you're going to see more things like that, where you'll see one-offs dealing with the reality, you know, not with the reality, but acknowledging social distancing and isolation and quarantine. But I think I'm just very skeptical that they're going to be able to get much dramatic energy out of that, or many storylines. And I feel like, again, it'll be what I kind of predicted a few months ago, or maybe a month ago or whatever. I don't, time doesn't mean anything anymore, but right. that you're going to see a lot of shows where people are like, boy, those few months of quarantine, those are pretty weird. And then maybe they'll acknowledge whatever the hell the world looks like after that, with like masks or some degree of still distancing. And you're probably not going to see contemporary characters at baseball games or concerts for a while. But
yeah,
I think that having a show where for many episodes everyone's trapped at home, maybe that works for some sitcoms or things like that, but for a cop show or something, I don't know how you do that.
I wasn't thinking like, I mean, yeah, show like sitcoms where you're all trapped at home, or even dramas where you're all trapped at home, I don't think it can last very long. They would have to do like one or two episodes max. But I was actually thinking, like, I've told you guys this before, I really like to lean into fear with content. Mm. And
yeah,
one thing that I've been thinking about since this all started is I want a full season of ER with the old cast.
Oh, pandemic God, why style. Do you want that?
I don't know. I don't know. It's dark. I know that it is. It's weird and dark, but like, I don't know. I have so many feels for frontline workers, and like, unfortunately, frontline workers in like my stupid brain are ER doctors, you know, like from that show. And so
you'll
like,
probably get your wish. Like you're going to, I think there's going to be plenty of that content that comes out of this, right? Like
there's
going to
be like too much, and it's not going to be good. Like yeah. that's what's going to be upsetting about it. But
yeah. Anyway, yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I think procedurals actually can totally do coronavirus-related content. That
oh, yeah, yeah. Because there'll be so many things to do with, like, ripped from the headlines, crime stories do, and all this stuff. Like, it's
totally.
Yeah. But the, so, the, just to go back, like, organically to
sorry,
the actual upload show. Yeah. No, but you did. It was because that the upload to me feels different enough that it's like escapist in a way where it like feels like an alternate timeline. So totally. I'm like fine with everything
and
that's going
people
on.
People are wearing masks, and it's like almost like there a leftover. Oh, am I taking what you were gonna say?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I just had a similar, just interjecting really quickly. Like, there's this early scene where she's on the subway and somebody else next to her is wearing a mask. And I was like, what? How did they know? What's happening?
Oh, yes. Okay, I remember now.
But there's, like, more than just that one person. It's, like, a general, like, maybe one out of 20 people in the show are wearing masks. Huh. And I don't know if it's, like, a fashion thing or it's, like, supposed to be that this is post-pandemic and there are, like, leftover remnants of mask wearing or...
Well, they probably
really
started production before any of it, but they were probably just like, this is a thing that is like, I mean, it's fairly popular elsewhere in the world, right?
Right.
So they're
right.
Probably just imagining it becomes relatively global, you know?
And, you know, I think that actually makes sense as a prediction. If anything, like holds up more now that.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine, like, but I think it makes sense even without it, right? Like, even right. If, like, leaving aside the coronavirus, it probably makes sense as a vision of the future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just imagine that whatever sort of comes after this and as things hopefully become safer, but in stages, that you're going to see this very weird intermediate state of some people are going to be, yeah, I mean, you're already seeing this. To some extent, some people being like, everything's fine, it's great, I will just go back to my normal life. And some people being like, no, I could catch a disease at any time. I'm going to be wearing a mask for the rest of my life anytime I'm on public transit.
Yeah, I saw that today when I had to go to the post office that's located inside of a pharmacy here. It was not fun. Like, to me, it's super nerve-wracking. But there was clearly a bunch of people for whom it was not nerve-wracking. And there was a bunch of people for whom it very much was. Yeah, yeah. So it's a weird mix because you have like, I'm pretty outwardly chill about it. But there are people who are visibly freaking the hell out. And then there are people who are like, I could give two shits about this. Like, this is just, it's back to normal. Everything's fine. And it's just very weird to see them all interacting together in the same enclosed space, basically. Mm.
And I think that, again, going organically back to upload, I think that one of the things this show does well, even beyond the mask thing, is it shows how, I think that there's a temptation in some science fiction, particularly in movies and TV, to treat the population sort of like as a monolith, like everyone likes this or no one likes this, but instead to show that everyone can have very different reactions to a technology. And the fact that there is this, you know, both with the central technology of upload technology, but also all the other little things that you see on the side and
how self-driving cars.
Some people use the self-driving cars in different ways. Some people do not want to get uploaded. Some people do. And I think, even though, again, I think it's primarily a humorous show, most of the science fictional stuff I find totally believable, and the way people relate to technology I find really believable.
There was a scene with some wires in it, which I found unbelievable. If we can't get rid of wires at some point, I'm gonna lose it.
Oh, wires are hard. They're probably gonna be here for a while. Remember, let's not get into it. That's another distraction. I wanted to talk about the wireless companies. That have debuted on stage at Disrupt, but let's not.
So Daryl, it seems like you do like this show quite a bit.
I do like this show a lot. I don't know if it's because it stars a handsome Canadian boy.
Or he looks what. Like Tom Cruise's like youngest cousin.
Oh wow, is that good? That's good, right?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, Tom Cruise is relatively attractive until you realize that one of his teeth is central on his face, and then it's a little.
Not gonna look for that. I'm gonna try to erase
his two front teeth. You don't know it, but then when you look hard, you realize that just one is right in the middle, and you're like, "How did that happen?"
Hmm,
but it's worked for him, and this guy does look like his younger cousin.
Yeah. Do you know he's actually related to the guy who plays the lead character in Arrow, the CW show about Green Arrow. That is a awful, awful television show that I love dearly. So yeah, he's got that connection. But anyways,
And he was in what was it? Romantic high school comedy that I remember seeing the trailer for a million times. He seems like a talented guy. I mean, I haven't seen much with him, but he was in The Duff. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, what? I didn't know about that. But the only thing I'd seen him in was he played another of these like super B-list superheroes on that CW show. So that's like not a role that anyone can show their acting chops in, right? So I was very pleasantly surprised by his performance in this. And I mean, I liked everybody in this. I think it's a pretty strong main cast. And I think it's, I mean, actually Ingrid, his girl... That's her name, right? Ingrid?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His like girlfriend is one of the stronger performers in it. But
do we have favorite characters?
Yeah, I mean his buddy is good.
The one in Upload though.
In the Upload vet. Zone.
Oh yeah, me too. 100%. Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. He's the best.
Yeah, he's really good.
I put on my dress blues.
This show, like Anthony mentioned it earlier, how it's Greg Daniels and you know the Good Place is more sitcom-y than this. This has a lot of like really sitcom-y elements, but then it's delivered not like that, right? Like it's delivered like a whatever, a prestige show, not really a prestige show, but like a HBO comedy or something like that, right? Like it has more through lines and.
It feels a little bit more naturalistic in style. Yeah.
Yes, naturalistic. There you go. But it has some like, and I think in good ways and bad ways, it has some really strong echoes of stuff that I think The Office didn't invent, but The Office exemplified in terms of like sitcom storylines and stuff like that, right? So, I mean, like one is the. I don't think this gives away, but like the will they or won't they romance type stuff happens a lot in this. And it's like, it can be a bit heavy handed, I think, given that the rest of the show doesn't really feel like that as much. So you have like a kind of Pam and Jim vibe going on is what I'm saying. But I mean, overall, I really liked it. I just found it weird to like you could see almost like a Greg Daniels, like in the process of metamorphosis, like taking this thing that was perfect for a half hour primetime comedy. And then like, which in itself was like, it changed it up considerably. So not to say that he was just doing what everybody else had done, because he changed a lot of the rules of the game for the better. Right. But he's bringing that and then like morphing it into this like streaming 10 episode format, which is quite different.
Jordan, did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was funny. It's not like at the very, very top of my list or anything, but I thought it was funny. I had some feels every once in a while. I'm not really that connected to the main character, the dude, whatever his name is, Nathan, mm-hmm. Nathan Brown. Is that his name?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty connected to Nora and definitely upset by the vape lung commentary.
Oh, yeah. They really go into the vape lung. That's another one of those like near future, like, you know, predictions that are a little too scary. Like maybe
a little too close for home on that one.
I don't remember who plays her father, but he's also super familiar to me.
Chris Williams? I don't know who that is.
I've seen him in stuff, but I don't know what.
He's Vanessa Williams' Silicon Valley. Younger brother.
And he's in Silicon Valley. That's where I remember him.
Oh, okay.
Silicon Valley, people going all over the place with Greg Daniels shows, I guess.
Well, do you also recognize Nora's roommate? I was like, where do I recognize this woman from? And I realized it's this actress, Christine Coe, who was in Tiger Tail, which we reviewed like a month ago.
Oh, I knew she looked familiar, but I didn't.
I didn't recognize her.
She's like the sad daughter, like adult daughter in Tiger Tail.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. I would say I really like the show too, and I'm kind of really excited that I think the main thing I'm going to do this weekend is just watch the whole thing. And one of the things that I think the show also does really well is just that I think it's worth emphasizing is that even though it's a funny show, it's a really, really bleak idea of what this kind of afterlife would be. That it would be this very, it would be run by, for-profit corporations. Like
telecoms. Yeah.
And that you would be...
They say, like, the one that runs the one that he's in is called Horizon, but they always say it like they want it to sound like Verizon.
The vibe I'm getting.
Disclaimer. Our parent company is Verizon.
Which is why we as Verizon employees think it's great. It looks great. It's a really great place.
Yeah, what's up with it being Horizon? And we're a Horizon family, and we have a Horizon Unlimited plan. That's Verizon.
I think
right?
It's meant to be Verizon, but because it's the main company, I don't know if they felt like they should or could get away with just calling it Verizon, because then people would think they were specific. But I think it's meant to make you think of Verizon for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
But like, just thinking about like the thought of, I mean, what this would be like, and specifically Nathan's situation, where he's, you know, everything about his situation in the afterlife is controlled by his girlfriend, who he's not particularly enthusiastic about, and is not necessarily the greatest person either. It's like a version of hell.
Yeah.
Terrible. Truly.
Yeah.
And like he legitimately considered dying over being with her.
But that was a surprisingly funny scene. Like his scene when he's rushed to the hospital is quite funny despite like the stakes of everything and that's involved. But it's like, it's weird how this show manages to be so bleak in some ways, but also can come off still feeling relatively light. Like for me, it does anyway. Everything you're describing, like when you're describing the world and you're describing what happens, you could be describing an episode of Black Mirror, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like Black Mirror. Like it doesn't feel like
Black Mirror would never have Oscar Meyer intel, right? Or like
somebody getting
beehive facial treatments and stuff.
The bees.
But like. I do.
Like they're angry today.
I will say, like, one, I don't know if it's a criticism. It's leaning towards a criticism in my heart, which is like, it felt like they came up with this concept, right? Where like people get uploaded, and what would happen if he got uploaded on his girlfriend's plan and she controlled him? And then afterwards, they were like, let's introduce foul play and a mystery so that we can make sure people keep watching, and it worked. So like, good on them, I guess, because like I probably wouldn't have watched episode 2 if episode 1 hadn't ended the way that it did. But it does feel like slightly like an afterthought to me, a little bit like a tool more than an organic piece of the plot, you know.
I feel the same way. That to me, what's much more interesting to think about and talk about is the afterlife, is about the relationships. But I think the mystery does feel almost transparently like something just to keep you interested and give it sort of a narrative structure. And for that, it seems to work reasonably well. But I'm not, again, not having seen the full season, I'm not expecting that. Like I really don't care that much, and I'm not expecting it to be particularly revelatory.
Yeah, it is strange. It's a strange element to the thing, and it adds to the feeling of like, I don't know, like the identity crisis, not identity crisis, because it's fine, but like it's a weird thing to categorize the show, and that is a big part of it too. Where they're like, you're like, what is the main plot driver here? And then they have this like whodunit essentially as the main plot driver, and it feels very odd contrasted with like the rest of the story. Like we barely have mentioned it, right? And it's not because I'm avoiding spoilers, it's because it's weirdly insignificant relative to the actual show, right?
Should we move into spoilers then?
I thought we were in spoilers. My bad.
I don't think we spoiled anything. I think we're good.
Okay. I'm just talking
freely. I won't spoil the ending, though, because neither of you two have seen the ending, so I don't want to spoil it.
I'm not sure I want to watch it, although it did get a season two. I don't know.
Yeah, it did get a season two.
Let's go into spoilers, and I'll tell you where I am, and you can tell me maybe what I need to know.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have not seen the full season of Upload and you don't want to know what happens, stop listening now.
How many have you seen, Anthony?
I've only seen two. I didn't have time to watch it.
You don't know anything. Okay.
That's right.
The last thing that I saw was Ingrid was caught tampering.
Isn't Ingrid Nathan's girlfriend?
Yes. And she was seen. So before he's in the store getting powdered egg and whatever else he was supposed to get for breakfast. And he's in there getting powdered egg shit. And then the camera footage from the store shows Ingrid like near his car, like messing around with something. And then the episode ends. So that's the last thing that I saw. So it's pointing the finger at Ingrid, but this Jamie character, his business partner, is also a little bit questionable. Why isn't he calling him back? Like, what's going on with that? Why wasn't mom paid out better? Like, so go ahead, Daryl. Why don't you just tell me what happens?
Well, I mean, they introduce a lot of various, like, suspects and red herrings. And they don't actually, like, settle it by the end of the first season.
What? So come on.
They settle it enough to indicate that those people are definitely red herrings, like false flags, but they don't settle it enough to tell you who did it, basically.
And we don't have like a clear pool of real suspects. We just have...
No, you do. You're left with additional suspects, I would say, but there's like problems around like motivation where you're like, even these people who seemingly, like her father, for instance, seemingly have good reason, like Ingrid's father, it's like, I don't know that they have good enough reason to do this. So they kind of like, they do keep it around, like they deepen the mystery.
What reason
and then
would
they raise
Ingrid's
some more
father
questions.
Have to kill him?
Because he owns, like, they really are a Horizon family. Like, he owns interest in the brand, right? And so Nathan's whole thing is he's essentially invented an open source version of the lake. What is it called? Lakeview. Yeah, him and his partner have basically invented an open source version of Lakeview that anybody can spin up and run themselves for free. So the big carriers come after them, essentially, right? So it's like people are strongly motivated to do it, but to like get rid of him. But then they're like, yeah, but like that guy's not that powerful. He was like, he's not in charge of it or anything. So you're kind of like left still wondering, I don't know who actually is motivated strongly enough to literally get rid of him.
Did you feel like the point at which the end, does it feel like a satisfying, if not total wrap up and a good end to the season? Or did it feel like they just hit 10 episodes and then moved on? I mean, and then you're just getting you excited about season two.
Well, it definitely couldn't stand on its own. As it's not like a thing where you like were like, if they had never made a second season, you'd be like, good. Like, no way. So, if that's what you mean, then no. They went into it like you would develop an actual, like any TV series for broadcast, assuming that you're going to get more time and assuming that that's the whole point, right? It's to try to stretch it out across multiple things. So, yeah, because they like raise a bunch of questions about that, the murder thing. They complicate the relationships more. So you need more resolution there. Like there's all kinds of stuff that is further complicated, not resolved.
Because I guess I just feel like even beyond standing on its own, I just feel like that if I think about like murder mystery things I've seen on TV, like Veronica Mars or Riverdale, that obviously they ran for multiple seasons, but they would answer the core murder mystery at the end of each season so that you could then start a separate mystery in the next season.
It's bold to do that, though. It's pretty bold to do that with a new show. But again, like it just kind of reinforces what I'm talking about with like letting the mystery be a tool instead of something that feels like mm-hmm. inherent or organic to the show. It's like, you better watch season two now, folks, you know, instead of like, this is something that is a core ingredient to the show. It's more like the shredded cheese on top, which makes me come back right. every time.
Yeah. 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 I guess that is the point of it. Like by the end of it, they become unraveled. So the romance plot and the crime plot are like inextricable from one another. Like the crime plot negatively affects the romance, essentially, because you also like they have the memories, right? Like the memories that that are glitched for whatever reason, and so they restore maybe all of those memories by the end of the series for Nathan. And then they're like, you learn stuff about him that he doesn't seem as good as you at once believed, right? And so then the angel learns that stuff about him too. So it's kind of like, oh, where do they go now in terms of love, right?
But they are developing a romantic relationship for most of the season. Yeah.
I lost a lot of respect for Nora in that she's like into him. Like, what are you gonna do? He's dead. Like, that's a non-starter, right? But then if you're gonna start past that, then like, what's your plan? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, why him?
Yeah, they do.
Like, she seems to kind of hate him. Although I do know that hate and love is like not really different.
There's a good episode, I don't know if you've gotten to it yet, where they have his, I think you have, Jordan, where they have his funeral. And then there's like,
yeah, I saw
she
that.
She goes to like a remote visitation, essentially.
Like, and what are you doing?
There's like three of his ex-girlfriends there, though, but they're all like, yeah, he's a good boyfriend. And it was like, what do you say? Like, it was like, he's a serial theater, but also none of them seemed that bothered by it. Like, it's like, yeah, he's good.
Like, oh yeah, and there was a gap, like a small gap, but like there was definitely a gap between all three of us.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, what are you, what's like, I mean, also we gotta remember it's the future, so like obviously people's yeah. feelings about many things regarding,
but they do seem to go out of their
changed.
Way
like Ingrid wants to show yeah. a sex tape to the Vogue writer.
Oh yeah, that's right, that's pretty funny too. Yeah. But they There's something weird going on with like the creators trying to go out of their way to say like, no, he's a good guy. Like, there's no real red flags except that he's dead, right? And he made this one unfortunate choice to like stay with Ingrid. And he even gives his own reasoning in one of the early episodes, right? Where he's like, but she's just so hot.
It's sort of reasoning. Yeah. I mean, and I do think they're very clear about him being pretty, like, a lot
shallow.
Yeah, very shallow. And like there's the whole thing where he starts talking about himself in life and he's like, I had a great face, great body,
yeah yeah,
great this.
Great hair, yeah.
Great
and
abs.
They have the funny hair glitch like as the for the first episode or two.
Yeah,
I think just one episode,
just one.
Yeah,
so I mean, I think they know that he's like that they're trying to portray him as not a perfect person personality wise
yeah,
but there is also something about that feels a little bit forced about how quickly Nora immediately is like, oh my God, he's great.
You get a bit of a, like, they do a good job of setting up, like, what the alternatives are. Like, her interactions with the Tinder equivalent app are really good. And it paints a really dire picture of, like, the dating scene in the near future, right? So compared to the people she meets on that, like, he is actually wonderful, even though he's definitely like a mimbo, right?
Yeah. God, the thought of giving your dates like 5-star ratings on Tinder, that just, oh my God, just like hurts my brain so much.
Yeah, that is monstrous.
Yeah, it's terrible. It kind of reminds me of that Black Mirror episode with all the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys like worried about these murder hornets or?
I mean, they're not, I'm not that worried about them. If I was a bee, I'd be really worried about them.
I know,
them.
But like bees right. account for, according to the New York Times, 1 out of every 3 bites of food we eat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm worried about bees in general, and it's not good that they have another enemy that's very powerful.
But I mean, in Asia, the murder hornets exist and they still have agriculture, right?
And the bees have adapted over there, and they have bees that are able to deal with the murder hornets in pretty clever ways.
They are. It's pretty interesting. They cook them. I don't really get how that's cooking them, but they just suffocate them to death.
That sounds.
Tell me, science editor.
I don't know.
This is a science podcast. I haven't looked into
the bees that much.
Okay, sorry again for the derailment, but good podcast, everyone. Really good work.
Yeah, right. Do we have any final thoughts on Upload?
Well, I don't know. I think it's like a. I wouldn't say it's outstanding, but I would say it's like really solidly good, and I enjoyed it. I think it's a pretty broadly appealing too. I think a lot of people could get some enjoyment out of the show.
Yeah, I put it well above The Murder Hornet and just slightly above a season of ER about coronavirus and somewhere below Big Bang Theory. Ooh. I knew that would upset you. Happy Friday, Daryl.
I've seen the least, so take this all with a grain of salt, but I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm excited to see where it goes. A little bit of what Daryl has said on this podcast, it made me maybe a little bit more cautious, but I'm still excited, so hopefully it'll not disappoint me too much. Before we go, I will also just let people know that we've been doing this twice a week schedule for the past, 2 months or so, and this is the last week we're going to do that. I mean, we may still do occasional bonus episodes and things like that because this whole thing is very seat of the pants and what we feel like on a given week. But now that our actual jobs have turned into actual jobs again, it's become a little bit hard to keep up with the viewing demands and recording schedule. So I think we're going to shift back to releasing an episode basically on the weekends, on Saturdays, starting next week.
I also just want to be clear. I feel like our jobs were always jobs. It was our personal lives that took a fucking nosedive and gave us more time.
I think that's true. I think there was also a period of a few weeks where it kind of felt like on the job front, yes, there's a lot going on. Let's keep on top of it. But also, who knows? Everything is crazy right now. So,
I feel like you're making it worse.
It felt like we were in this weird in between space work-wise. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I don't know what, the rest of the year is going to look like at TechCrunch, so I'm just going to be on kind of...
Wow, you have to cut this. I'm sorry. You can't say that. Are you trying to say that you thought TechCrunch would die?
No, I didn't think it was... I thought we were, in this weird pause between... It was real... There was, a real news period... And then there's going to be this crazy couple of weeks where we were just covering coronavirus and then we'd be out and it would be normal again. And so I was it felt like it was just I don't know. Everything just felt kind of strange, I guess, is more. And then now it feels like we're back. Oh, this is real life now.
Right.
Right. New normal.
Right. So maybe things were crazy and we took solace in being together and talking about television.
That is a much better way to put it.
For our own mental wellness and, just to be with one another and to escape a little bit, but we're adjusting and work is busy. And so we're going to go back to a normal schedule.
Exactly. But as always, if you have thoughts about Upload or our review, you can email us at originalcontent@techcrunch.com. You can also subscribe or leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. And all of our listeners and Jordan and Daryl, have a great weekend.
You too, man. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too.
Or Saturday to the
Happy Friday.
Listeners. Great.